Have you ever experienced some terrible loss and felt like you didn't know if you could go on? You're afraid of the sun coming up tomorrow because it just doesn't feel like you'll be able to handle life now. Today and next time, we're going to see how Jesus helps a man who felt like that after losing a child.
Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Ferguson.
Well, it had to be the happiest day of her life. After 12 years of painful suffering and defiling uncleanness, this woman in Mark 5 that we spoke of last week is now healed and clean. She touched Jesus' garment. She walks away with his promise of peace and health and well-being. And she is now a child of God. She is his daughter. Her sins are forgiven. She has peace with God now. And Jesus Christ used the father of a dying 12-year-old as an object lesson to show everybody how much love he has for this dear woman. And so it's a happy day for her. So we left off last week with a huge smile on that woman's face, big smile on Jesus' face, no doubt, but not on Jairus' face, the synagogue ruler. For him, the bottom is about to drop out of his world. Jesus stops. They're on their way to heal this man's daughter, and Jesus stops to deal with this woman, and he keeps dragging it out and taking longer and longer. And then it happens. Jairus can see him coming from blocks away. And as soon as he sees him, a few of his friends coming, he knows, oh, this can't be good. This can't. And sure enough, verse 35, while Jesus was still speaking to the woman, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. Your daughter is dead. And Jairus' world goes black. And they try to get him to leave Jesus alone. Why bother the teacher anymore? Come on, Jairus. It's like in the movies, you know, when somebody dies and the friend is doing CPR and they just keep doing it. And finally, another friend has to pull them off. They just stop. They're gone. It's over. She's gone. That's what their friends are doing here. Jairus, your last ditch effort, going to this outlaw rabbi teacher guy. It was understandable, but it's too late. Now, it's over. You just need to come home, Jairus. We already called the funeral home. The whole thing's in place. Mark 5 is known as the chapter of hopeless causes. That's really what it's been, hasn't it? I mean, out in the storm in that lake, when the boat was already sinking, hopeless, right? Hopeless. The maniac at Gadara, they tried everything to restrain him. They couldn't do it. Hopeless. Then this woman, she tried every doctor and spent every penny. Only got worse. Hopeless. Incurable. And now the most hopeless of all hopeless and most irreversible disasters. Sorry, Jairus. Your little 12-year-old girl has died. She's gone. She didn't make it. Jesus has run into some pretty big obstacles, but this is the biggest one yet. Death. Death is the deep point of the curse. It's the worst. Remember the context here. I just want to remind you, all the way back to chapter 4 when we started the parables. What Jesus is doing here is a set of four miracles designed to prove that he has enough power to establish the kingdom of God that he spoke about in the parables. Hey, Jesus, do you have enough power to bring the creation under your control for the kingdom? And Jesus answers by calming the storm with the word. Jesus, are you able to eliminate evil for the kingdom? And he responds by defeating an entire legion of angels with a word. What about sickness and suffering? Can you handle that? And he heals this woman with an incurable disease just with a brush from his garment. But there's still one category left that we need to know. Does Jesus have enough power for that? If you're going to be the Messiah, there's one more item that needs to be on your resume that you have to be able to do. You have to be able to handle not only disasters and demons and disease, but also death. And that's what Jesus is going to do today. He's going to confront death. So Jesus overhears the friends telling Jairus, your daughter is dead, leave the teacher alone, all that. But he doesn't say anything. Jesus doesn't say anything to the friends. Verse 36, ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, don't be afraid, just believe. Now you might have noticed as we've been going through this that fear has been an issue in each one of these miracles, each one of these four miracles. In the storm, remember, Jesus rebuked the disciples for being cowards. After restoring the demoniac, the people of the Gadara area were afraid of Jesus and they asked him to leave. Then the woman with the bleeding, she was afraid to face Jesus. Remember, she's fear and trembling and all that. And now, Jairus has to deal with fear in verse 36, where his worst nightmare has come to pass. Each one of my kids, when they turned 16 and got their driver's license, every time the phone rang, I was afraid to answer it. Just every time it rang, I just thought it was going to be one of those, that call that every parent just dreads. There was an accident. We're sorry. We did everything we could. She's gone. Now, I never got a call like that, but Jairus did. He gets the call right here. And Jesus knew this was going to be a blow to his faith. He knew the news about his daughter would put Jairus right at the crossroads between fear and faith. And Jesus knew he needed to uphold him right at that moment. So he speaks to Jairus, not to the friends. Verse 36, "Don't be afraid, Jairus. Don't be afraid. Just trust me." Now that's interesting. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of what? Don't be afraid of losing your child? That's already happened. Don't be afraid of her dying? That's already happened. No, what he's saying is, Jairus, now that she's dead, don't be afraid of what's next. Don't be afraid of life without your little girl. Because that's what you would be afraid of at that moment, right? You just found out your daughter died. Now you're afraid of waking up tomorrow morning. You suffer a loss like that. When we suffer horrible losses in life, we're afraid of life itself. We just feel like, I can't even keep going. I can't live this way. I'm afraid of tomorrow. I'm afraid existence is going to be unbearable for me now. And that's how we feel. We feel that existence will be unbearable if we lost, and then you fill in the blank. What is Jesus saying here? Is he saying, don't be afraid, Jairus, you don't have to be afraid, I'm just going to go raise her from the dead? No, he's not saying that. He never promised to raise her from the dead. He didn't promise to do anything at this point. He's not given any indication whether or not he's going to do a miracle or if this is just going to be a normal thing like everybody else and you just lose your loved one. What he's saying is, whatever I'm going to do, Jairus, however this plays out, you don't have to be afraid of it. You don't have to be afraid of what's coming. You see, if you know Jesus Christ, you don't have to be afraid of anything. You don't have to fear anything. Even if you have the most painful ordeal in your life right around the corner and it's about to happen to you, you don't have to be afraid of it because His grace will be sufficient for you. He'll be enough. Most of our fear has to do with thinking that I'm not going to be able to be happy without this thing. And if you know Jesus Christ, you'll always have access to joy and peace, even in the midst of the worst possible suffering. You see that? We don't have to be afraid if we trust Him. So Jesus steps in right at the moment this man needs help, calls him to faith. And when he does that, here's what Jesus is doing. By using the word faith, he's pointing Jairus back to the woman again. And the reason I say that is because he just two verses earlier mentioned the woman's faith. So in verse 34, he says to the woman, "Your faith has healed you. Go in peace." And then right after that, immediately turns to Jairus and says, "Don't be afraid, have faith." And it's the same word for faith both times. When Jesus was confronted with the horrible news and he was tempted towards fear, Jesus didn't just say, "Trust me." He didn't just say, "Have faith." He pointed Jairus to a real life example of what faith looks like in that woman. He had already used the woman once to teach Jairus a lesson. Remember last week, he taught a lesson about love. Jairus, these feelings you have for your little daughter, that's the same feelings I have for this woman. And remember, I told you last week, it was almost like Jesus just took Jairus' face. Jairus is looking towards his house, and he takes Jairus' face and, "Look at this woman. See her? See how much you feel for your daughter? That's how I feel for this woman." And so Jairus, he's like, okay, I get it. You really love this woman. You feel the same for her like I feel my daughter. I got it. Understand. Good. Got the lesson. Now, can we go? Can we go and heal my daughter before she dies? And then he gets the devastating news. She's dead. What does Jesus do? He points Jairus to the woman again. It's like he takes his face again. Said, "No, look again. See her faith? See how she trusts me? I want you to learn from that, Jairus." So this big shot religious leader, he's the ruler of the synagogue, has to sit at the feet of this woman, this despised woman who's not even allowed in the synagogue, this unclean woman, and learn from her. That's how it is in the kingdom of God, isn't it? God just reverses roles like that. And this is exactly what Jairus does. He does learn from her. He's a humble man. There's no indication anywhere in this passage that his faith wavers at all. He keeps believing. He keeps trusting. So that's yet another reason. Remember, we were going through all the reasons last week why Jesus made that woman's faith public. This is another reason. Is she needed to learn a lesson about faith. The rest, all of us, need to learn from her.
I hope you've never had to experience a loss so painful that you were afraid of life going forward. I have. When I stepped down from pastoral ministry, I was terrified. I have no marketable skills, no other way to make a living, and no interest in anything other than pastoral ministry. I had no idea what I could do to make a living, and even if I did find something, I couldn't imagine being happy doing it. I was afraid of the whole rest of my life. I'm guessing that's at least a taste of what it's like for people who lose a child or a spouse. The fact that I felt that way just proved something that I would have denied up and down at the time, namely, that I had made an idol out of ministry. If you think you can't be happy without something, you have, by definition, put that thing or person in the place of God, because for the Christian, God alone is our source of joy and fulfillment in life. When I think I can't be happy if I lose a person or ministry or anything else, what I'm saying is, well, if I lose that and all I have left is God, that's not enough. That's really a blasphemous attitude. Blasphemous, but perfectly normal. It's the most normal feeling in the world. We naturally make idols out of the best gifts God has given us. Our hearts are idol factories. The good news is, you don't ever have to be afraid of the rest of your life. If you know the Lord, you don't have to be afraid of tomorrow. You don't have to be afraid of life without anything other than God. No matter how bleak the future looks right now, if you're a child of God, all your best days are still in front of you. And I can testify to that. My life now is full of joy. It still stings. What I lost, it still stings, but I love this season of my life, even though I'm making a living as a traffic control supervisor. God took away the gift that was most precious to me. I was left with just God. And surprise, surprise, God has turned out to be more than enough to give me the most joy I've ever had. Take a moment to imagine losing everything and everyone that's most precious to you in this world, and use your imagination to picture yourself full of joy and happy with life because of grace from God. Use the gift of imagination to train your soul to really believe what you claim to believe when you say, God is enough.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? A simple post on social media can change a person's day. This season, the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the Gospel of Mark. Over 130 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.